today. And my scripture reading is in 2 Timothy 1 and starting at the third verse. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath and for each one that has been led, Lord, to be here. And Heavenly Father, the ones that's not here, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit to them, Lord, and let them know they need to be in the assembly with the other brothers and sisters and into your house of worship. And Heavenly Father, bless the remainder of this service and each thing that's done, and let it all be to your praise and glory. In the name of Yeshua, we ask these things, and amen. My text is the third and fourth verse of 2 Timothy 1. So let's look at that. Third and fourth verse, 2 Timothy 1. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. And those are wonderful words of encouragement and comfort that the Apostle Paul had to no doubt a young minister, Timothy. And these was his words to try to encourage Timothy, to try to remind him of the things that was important, and let him know that he needs to continue on. And he needs to hold certain things close and dear to him as he tries to minister to others for God. My message is entitled today, Encouragement. And we need to ask ourselves, in regard to my scripture reading and in regard to my text, how often should I need encouragement? How often do I feel that I need it? Not only how often do I think I need it, how often do I get it? How often does encouragement come to me? Does it come as often as I need it? And I think probably most of us would say, including me, that no, I think I need a lot more encouragement than I'm getting. And so we need to look at ourselves and not only think about ourselves, but we need to think about our other brothers and sisters, and we need to think, well, how often am I giving encouragement? How often, with the shoe on the other foot, do I look at another person and I think, what could I have done? What could I have said in certain instances that I had an opportunity to say something to try to uplift that person, perhaps make the burden that they may be under help make it easier for them to walk under whatever burden it is that they have. When you needed encouragement, did it come? And if so, when you think back on the times that you've been encouraged and somebody's really said or done something that really lifted your load, then have you ever examined what it was that they did that uplifted your spirit? And ask yourself, how did it happen? Just exactly what did they do to encourage me, to try to help me? There's many times that we are discouraged. Many times that we need help that we don't receive it. Did you know that encouragement comes from God? It is God that encourages us, perhaps through others, perhaps through circumstances. And no doubt, it's the Holy Spirit through which and by we are encouraged. So God is the one that brings encouragement to us. Timothy had been obviously shedding tears over the difficulties that he faced in his ministry. And so the Apostle Paul recognized this, and he was saying these words to encourage him. And he did this by referring to Timothy's heritage, the way Timothy was brought up, his godly grandmother and his mother. And he was reminding Timothy how great it was and important it was that he had the people in his life that loved him and cared for him and nurtured him and brought him up in the way of Yahweh and Yeshua. And that Holy Spirit by which we are encouraged is not just one by whom it comes to us and by which we are encouraged. The Holy Spirit comes and is sent by Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son. And both of them love us. All you have to do is research in your Bible the Holy Spirit and how it was sent and who sent it, when it was sent. And it's very evident The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son. According to Scripture, they love us. They're concerned for us. And whatever the Word says concerning their concern and their love for us, or for the ones that lived in the time of the ministry of Yeshua as a flesh and blood human, that same love and care and concern applies to each one of us. So the Apostle Paul wanted to remind Timothy, you have a great heritage. And I'd like to ask each one of you, did you have that kind, same kind of encouragement, that similar kind of heritage? Was there a godly mother or dad or both in your life, perhaps even a godly grandmother? Many of us in this church that has been in this church virtually as long as the church has been here, we can say along with the Apostle Paul, yes, we too have a great heritage. And that heritage too has come from godly parents, including grandmother. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy by saying that fear is not from God. Have you ever considered that? God don't send fear to you. That's more of a human kind of a reaction to circumstances. God is love. God is encouragement. Fear is not sent by God. But God gives us the power to deal with the circumstances of our life. And He gives us love. And He gives us a disciplined life. Let's see, look at 2 Timothy 1 and 7. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He don't want us to be sort of ashamed or even backward acting. He wants us to be bold in our service for Him. And not with any kind of shame about standing in front of people and letting them know where you're coming from and what you believe. He wants us to be bold in our service to Him. Not with the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. You know, you could think about that for a long time. Power comes from God. It comes from the gift of His Holy Spirit, giving us that boldness and our comfort, reminding us of things that we need to be reminded of. Power from God, but with love and discipline. That should be telling you discipline. Living your life like God explains in His Word. Holding true to the truths that you know. What an encouragement this must have been to the young Timothy, to have Paul love him enough that he would say these things to try to encourage him. Have you encouraged someone lately? Can you remember, as you sat here this morning, can you remember the last time you really took note of the fact that you were encouraging someone, that God, through His Holy Spirit, let you know to do or to say certain things, because it was going to be an uplifting spirit to someone? Are you waiting for someone to encourage you? And we need to know that we need to yield up the expectation to the Lord and be encouraged in Him. Put your trust in Yahweh. Trust in Yeshua. There's great power and encouragement. When you speak those words that uplift someone's heart and mind and soul, there's power in that. Power for you and power for them. But like I said before, we need to sort of think about, how does encouragement come? How did it come to us the last time we got it? How did we give it to others? God is the source. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle that is used by God to work in our hearts and life at any given moment in time. And the Holy Spirit being in us and working in us brings that encouragement to others. Let's look at five ways that encouragement comes. Sometimes encouragement comes through a personal friend. Do you remember King David as a youth? And you remember when he first started out, how the king was Saul, and how there was such conflict and jealousy between Saul and David, that David literally had to flee for his life and hide at times. But David had a friend, and Jonathan was his friend. Sometimes encouragement comes through friends like David and Jonathan. They were covenant friends. They had exchanged robes and welcome and weapons, sealing their covenant between them with blood. And when Saul was pursuing David to try to kill him, Jonathan came to David and encouraged him in God. And Jonathan gave David a word of faith. And let's look at 1 Samuel 23 and verse 17. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 17. Thus he said to him, "Do not be afraid." You know, your encouragement to someone else might be that, as fear maybe has taken hold of them and maybe even has them almost in a panic in the way that they live their life. And you just saying the simple word, just like Jonathan said to David, "Do not be afraid. Because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And Saul, my father, knows that also." So there, just by those words, you have a sense of why David was fleeing for his life, because Saul wanted to continue to be king. And God was ready for a change. And you know, God's word said that God sets up kings and rulers and he brings them down. And so it was time for Saul to exit and for David to enter. It was David's time. And God was the one that made that decision. And so he gave David a word of faith, "Do not be afraid." and encourage them in the words that God gave him, that Saul won't kill you. Saul won't find you. God always signs his letters with encouragement. He sends no anonymous letters. He always personalizes his encouragement. He may send someone to us, for he does prompt one Christian to help another. Believe that. God will speak to you through his Holy Spirit and will let your mind know exactly what you need to do and what you need to say in order to help one of the other brothers and sisters at that particular point in time. But we need to know that encouragement really originates with the one that loves you. It originates with Yahweh and Yeshua and the love that they have for you as being a member of their family. Secondly, not only from sometimes friends, encouragement comes, but it also can come and does from God's Word. Let's look at Romans 15 and 4. Romans 15 and 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Does the Word of God say that you can get encouragement through the Scriptures? And we're talking about all the Scriptures. We're talking about the Scriptures of old. That is, before Yeshua's coming to this earth. And of course, during the time of Yeshua and all the way up to now, the Word of God has encouragements for us. It has the answers to all the questions that come to us that seems to be so mysterious at times. And some of them will remain mysterious, but there are answers to most things, and it's right there in God's Word for you, to encourage you, to instruct you in the way of righteousness, the way in which God wants you to go. God's Word has power to encourage. God's Word has hope. If you have a problem or a need, you need direction, just believe that the direction for you is there. God has it for you. He can speak it to you directly, but He can also reveal it to you through friends, through brothers and sisters, or through His Word. He can give you what you need at any point in time. Believe that it's there. Be willing to ask God for answers and seek Him for it. And you can look elsewhere for encouragement, but a lot of times the encouragement that you will get from the wrong sources and in the wrong way will only be temporary. You'll get a temporary lift. You'll get temporary encouragement. Well, when it really comes from God, it will be a permanent. It will have permanency to it. Isaiah 40 and 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." You can believe it. You can bank on it. God's Word is true. It was true 4,000 years ago. and it's true now. The word of our Lord stands forever. Thirdly, we get encouragement from our spiritual position. And let's look at Philippians 2 and 1. Let's go there. Philippians 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion. That is letting us know there is encouragement in His Word. There is encouragement in service to Him. Our spiritual position is that we are in Christ. See that? Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, do you consider yourself to be in Christ? If you are, you're in a spiritual position with Yahweh and Yeshua. You're important to them. You count. When you speak and you say that communication to them, they're going to listen. They hear. In Christ is used approximately 150 times in the New Testament. And it refers to our union with Christ. We are in Him, in that we have been crucified with Christ, we've been raised up with Him, and allowed to sit with Him in heavenly places. Isn't that something? We are and should take advantage of that relationship. Colossians 3 and 1 says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of Yahweh. Isn't that wonderful? And we are there as we are in Him. We are there with Him. His power is made available to us. And when we look at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, now to Him who is able to do, now listen to this, this is good. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Isn't that wonderful there? To Him who is able to do, has the power to do, and will do exceedingly more than we ask Him to do. According to the power that worketh within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Can you count on Him? Can you count on that word that we just read? I know so. Philippians 4:13 says that we are totally adequate in Christ. As He is in the world, so are we. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Now that is really a powerful statement. I can do all things through Christ who is in me. As He is, so are we in the world. And we read in 1 John 4:17, by this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in the world. That is encouragement. And lastly, encouragement comes at times from direct divine intervention. Now, that is powerful. Sometimes our encouragement will come directly from the one who is most capable of giving it. Directly from Yahweh. God can encourage us deeply through His miracles. And so was the case of Paul and Silas. You remember the story about the record of Paul and Silas? And they were put in prison for the truth, for what they were speaking and doing. And they were beaten by the prison guards. And actually, not only put into prison, but they were put into the inner prison. That's a bad, bad place. The ones real bad goes back to the back. And so they were put into the inner prison. And they were guarded very securely. Because the guards knew if anything happened and they should happen to escape, the one who held them responsible for that would probably put them to death if something were to happen to the prisoners that they had in guard like that. So even though they were in the inner prison and they were guarded extremely securely, they still found it within themselves to think of their blessings and to think of the one who had brought them to that point in their life. They needed encouragement. Obviously, they were probably in chains and bound as well as being in the inner prison. But you know what they were doing? They were praying and they were singing. You know, we get a tremendous lift and encouragement through songs and the words that God gives the songwriters. Encouragement can come through the words of certain songs, and we heard some of those this morning. Y'all enjoy that song about the alabaster box? Ever paid real close attention to the words? And that particular song was sung by a relative here that used to live here in town. And it was recorded, and Tammy and David got it to where we could enjoy it. And right now, I think she's living over in East Tennessee at a church and serving God. But she's got a tremendous gift of God, a tremendous voice, and she's using that. And we all was encouraged by hearing her song, even though you might not have known that this was basically a relative of some of ours, and that she's lived here before, and she's been in this church before. So that's a little history of that particular praise and worship song that we enjoyed this morning. Encouragement can come through the words that God gives in some of these songs. But Paul and Silas, they was praising God, and they were singing, and they were praying to Him, and their hearts was encouraged through this. And then suddenly there came an earthquake. Can God work through nature to affect whatever it is He wants to happen? Absolutely. He did it in the past many times. He does it today. He sent an earthquake then. And the record is in your Bible of what happened. The foundation of the prison was shaken. And the shackles that held them inside that inner prison was broken. And so in effect, they were set free by God's hand. What an encouragement. God intervened, and He can intervene for you or me directly, divinely. Divine intervention proves God's encouragement. You remember when Jesus was asleep in the ship and a big storm came up on the Sea of Galilee and His disciples was in there with Him, and all of a sudden that storm and waves started coming and it was some knees shaking. And I would say it was some in there that needed a word of comfort. And His disciples cried out to Yeshua, "Do you not care that we perish?" They were thinking the ship was going to go down with all of them. And yes, the Word lets us know Yeshua did care. And He commanded the storms to cease. Was Yeshua divine? Yes, He was divine. He was God's only begotten Son. He did care. And He spoke to the storm, and calm came. Their hearts became still. And Yeshua does care for us as His sheep. He is the good shepherd. And you know what it says in John 10? Yeshua says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He cared so much for you and I. So much for everyone. That He shed His blood. He died for us. He died to fulfill the ultimate plan of His Father. That we all could have that hope. That we could have that chance of being in God's family and living eternally. Forever and ever. And Jesus carried out that plan. And we have that hope of eternal life through His blood. And all we have to do is accept it and hold on to it to the end of our days. And as we do that, we are always saved. If we abide in Him and He abides in us, and we plead the blood of Yeshua as we perhaps would sometimes falter, sometimes fall, sometimes sin. We have to immediately go to the Father. Immediately plead the blood of Yeshua. And Yeshua lets us know that through Him and His blood that was shed for us, that we are saved. We're all part of the ministry of encouragement. And we receive encouragement from each other and we give it. And we need to believe this. And we need to share it and exchange it each day of our life. You will be a blessing. And you will be blessed. And I'd like to wish each one a happy and great Shabbat Shalom today. Have a blessed and peaceful rest of the Sabbath. I'd like for us to now all stand together and read the blessing of Yahweh to us and us to each other. Let's read this together. Let's do something different. Instead of saying, Lord, let's use the word Yahweh. And we could use the word Yeshua. If you want to say that, that's fine with me. Say that. But let's insert one or the other of those words as we read this blessing to us. Let's read this together. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And Yahweh lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. That's wonderful words. Let's bow in prayer.